Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Loom, joined as always by my very lovable co-host, Josh Hart.
Very lovable. William, good to be here.
You're a very lovable man.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say.
Yeah, we were at a wedding this past weekend.
It was a very good time, very beautiful. Great singing by the Orthodox priest. Shout out Dan and Vanna, congratulations again.
I didn't know Father had so many bars.
So many bars.
Yeah, sounded like Father John Misty. So we're going to take your phone calls as always, and you can hit us up at the two numbers you see on the screen there, 416-263-8297 and
8298.
That's right. We got two lines, so you can call in.
Just like Kevin Gates.
Our producer, Ben, will take care of you, put you on hold, and then we'll patch you through. But before we get to any calls or any YouTube comments, you can send in YouTube comments as well. We can get those. The Raptors, right now, undefeated at home.
Facts, Hillerman.
With an incredible win over the Sixers, I got to say. Like, incredibly thrilling. And, you know, there's been a lot of Joel Embiid slander and things like that. We focused a lot after that Sixers game on what the Sixers didn't do. But I kind of want to focus on what the Raptors have done. Because at home right now, I love this. This feeling of the Raptors, you go there, it's a fortress. You can't get a win off the Raptors in Toronto.
And I haven't been to that many home games yet, but I've been. And it's an amazing crowd. You know, before the season started, we talked a little bit about what we wanted from this team. And it was a team that would be entertaining to watch and could win every night. And they've done that, and they have defended the Scotiabank Arena like nobody else, and it's incredible. And there's so many courts. The Raptors have played at home eight times, and we've seen three courts.
Yes.
It's amazing.
No, all of it looks pretty good. Like, I thought the Welcome Toronto stuff looked pretty good. By the way, they just sneakily moved away from the Drake thing. Huh? They were just like, before it was Drake night, and now it's just Welcome Toronto night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about sort of an expanded partnership.
I guess so.
But the throwback court still looks
the best.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
I can't wait for them to bring it back.
Yeah. And I wasn't even that big of a fan because, you know, I don't have the same nostalgia because I wasn't watching back then. But, like, looking and seeing it now, it just looks incredible. The funny thing, when I looked into this number, so the Raptors are 8-0 at home. And I thought, wow, this must be one of the best records in the league in terms of home records. But then in the Eastern Conference, I found the Bucks 7-1 at home. Very good record.
Yeah.
Boston Celtics, a perfect 7-0 at home. Miami Heat, perfect 7-0 at home. And Sixers, perfect 8-0 at home.
Yeah.
Even the Pacers are 8-2 at home. This is kind of weird.
It is odd.
This is kind of weird. And I thought, you know, but if you're just going to go and try to get to like 55, 56 wins, like maybe even get up to 60, like this is what you got to do. Like pretty much have like an 85% win percentage at home, which is probably doable. And then just be like a little bit above 500 on the road, and you're kind of already there.
Also, lots of crappy teams get to come to your building. Like the Raptors have had one good team at Scotiabank, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, the Kings are not that good.
The Kings aren't that good.
The Magic weren't that good.
The Magic have been here, what, like seven times or something?
We're playing the Magic again today.
I know, I cannot believe it.
Unbelievable, man. I don't want to see the Magic anymore. I'm tired.
Me too, but we don't have to see them again until April.
I'm tired. So,
line's blown up.
The line is blown up. Let's take a call. Let's take a call.
All right.
First one.
Samir from Toronto. Samir, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's good, man?
So, I have two questions. My first question is, what are your top three Coach of the Year candidates thus far?
Ooh.
And then the second one is, what do you see as a realistic path for the Raptors to the finals? Like, do you think they need to make a big trade or just a matter of matchups, like try to avoid Philly with their size?
That's a good question. First one, Coach of the Year match. I think they're all actually in the East. Because I would go Nick Nurse, Eric Spoelstra, and then Brad Stevens.
Okay, no Monty Williams?
Monty Williams is nice. I wouldn't argue against Monty Williams. But
the
I feel
Suns
like
have fallen off a little bit.
The Suns have fallen off a little bit. And also, like, you look at what Spoelstra's doing, like, his roster is kind of similar to the Raptors in the sense that it's not a very, like, star-laden roster. There's one clear star in Jimmy Butler. But they're right there with the Raptors. They've been right there with the Raptors all season. So I got to give a lot of love to the Heat.
I think one guy I want to add to this, Nick Nurse, I think is easy, and Eric Spoelstra, I agree. But Ryan Saunders, I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves have, like, I don't know who to give the credit to. Like, Karl-Anthony Towns is on a totally different level this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big, like, I don't really, like, admire Karl-Anthony Towns, but he's on a different level. The Wolves are a playoff team currently. Ryan Saunders is a great story in the NBA. I wouldn't be surprised to see him there if the T-Wolves finish at, like, a 5 seed, which isn't out of the realm of possibility. That'd be a cool story.
I think it's a good option. I was thinking about that too with Saunders. I mean, I didn't expect him to make the playoffs. So if they get, like, a 5-6 seed, then yeah, I agree with that.
Who were your candidates?
I had Nick Nurse.
Yep.
Monty Williams and Monty Williams is if they make the playoffs, I would say, and then Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. And then the second half of your question.
The second half, about the realistic pass.
Here's the thing. Like, I think right now what the Raptors have is a playoff-ready defense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whether they have a playoff-ready offense is still a big question for me. I don't necessarily think so yet. Because I think right now, if you look at the offense, which is objectively performing really, really well.
For sure.
But it's a lot of transition scoring. It's a lot of the bench sort of hustling their way and getting baskets. And that's, like, that's fine. It's nothing to take away from those people. But in the playoffs, it's just a lot more difficult to get some of those actions. And you look at even the starting lineup, a lot of the offense is, like, you know, OJ and Obi curls and Marc Gasol throws him a pass. Like, in the playoffs, they're going to scout out that play. I mean, it's not saying you can't score on it, but it just won't be scoring on it every single time.
I think we'll just have to go back to what last year looked like, which was Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol are both really intelligent ball players, and they're able to orchestrate an offense with lots of handoffs to Norm Powell.
What happens when they you know, key in on Pascal and who's going to be the secondary scorer? Because last year, you know, Pascal was a secondary scorer, right?
Yeah.
So, OG Anunoby.
You know, Kyle and Gasol could just chill. Now they gotta step up, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's up to Kyle or Fred, and that's the thing. It is a bit dicey for me. So, but you know, here's the thing. If you're gonna make a trade, if there's a great trade to be out there and you can get a star, then maybe you make that move. But if it's just like a marginal trade to like some people suggested, like, you know, get Andre Iguodala or whatever, I'm like, I'm not surrendering extra assets to get Andre Iguodala so I can, like, block OG's progress. Like, I just want to see, like, we can't lose sight of the fact that even though they're really good this year, it's still a developmental year. So you want to see you got to give these guys a chance to, like, actually live up to those roles. Because you never know, man. Maybe they do step up in those playoff moments, and they do. Then you're like, holy crap, we have a real core in place for the foreseeable future. So anyway, man, thank you for calling in, bro.
All right, thanks, man.
Have a cool weekend.
All right.
All right, you too, bud.
Yeah. Do you want to take another call?
Let's do it.
All right. We got Ken in Toronto. Ken, what do you do?
Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. Raptors have to do to get Giannis? Do they have to trade Fred VanVleet or do they have to trade Lowry or Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka?
to get Giannis?
What?
Yeah.
Giannis is going to sign as a free agent. The Bucks would demand, like, a blood sacrifice to get Giannis, to trade him. They're not going to trade him. That'd be crazy.
I'm very confused by this question. I see on the board that
how would they free up cap space
for Giannis?
All these guys are expiring this year.
Yeah, they're not going to re-sign everybody. You're going to lose Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for the call, bro.
Damn, I thought it was going to be, is Fred VanVleet a good trade for RJ Barrett or Jamal Murray? Which
is a much more interesting question, but it's one that I know you're going to say no immediately to.
I'm just saying, like, the Knicks are not going to say yes to that, and the Nuggets aren't saying yes to that.
Yeah, and so. Jamal Murray is, like, a huge contract now, and it would be a
it doesn't make sense. Mess. It doesn't make sense. Okay, yeah. I mean, you know what the funny thing is? Like, no matter how good the Raptors are, people still want to make trades. Like, just, like, people just die to, like, oh, what if we made this trade or this trade or this trade?
And but you get the impulse. Like the ESPN trade machine's free.
Sure, but, like, come on, man. Like, you know, what's fun about this team is seeing them develop and seeing them do new things every day, every game.
Speaking of this team developing, you and I thought about who so far has been our favorite Raptor to watch.
Yeah. So, you've taken my Fred VanVleet thunder. So, go ahead. Talk about Fred.
So, Fred
VanVleet, who you want to still put on the bench for Norm, by the way?
No, it's not that I want to put him on the bench. Fred VanVleet... And the debate that we have a lot about this team is it important for them to be good or for them to be entertaining? And I believe that the Fred VanVleet story and his play will be the most reliable source of entertainment this team has to offer this season. Because he's going to be a free agent, because he wants a lot of money, because he is playing really well, but isn't a player whom, you know, it's always hard to see a scrappy bench guy become your star player. Like, it's just hard to, like...
Why?
Because it's like, you know, it's the same reason people always want to leave their hometown to go to chase the bright lights of places like Vancouver and Montreal. All of our friends went to university, and, like, we knew people who went to Montreal for university. What a waste of time. Wow. I don't know if we'll ever, like, if the franchise will ever see Fred VanVleet as a, you know, reliable all-star. I wonder if that'll ever happen, and I think that's a story that will be developing over the course of the year. Because, yeah, people across the fan base want to bench Fred or trade Fred because they don't view him yet as a tier one NBA star.
So we're going to move everybody on the team if they're not a tier one NBA star? I don't know,
I think it's a narrative. Like, Fred VanVleet right now
is
18-7 and he's 18-7-4. He is the most interesting part of watching the offense because he's taking like 7 threes a game. He's facilitating the offense. He's very entertaining. But I think as the season goes on, people are like, is Fred VanVleet going to be a $22 million a year player? And what does that mean?
If you're getting, you know how many $22 million of your players aren't averaging 18-7-4 on a winning team?
I agree. But it's the thing. You know, bet on yourself, undrafted guard, undersized.
This is why you took Fred VanVleet from me for this reason.
Because the narrative. The narrative on Fred VanVleet will be entertaining all season long, and he's good on court. He will really deliver everywhere because I bet you there's going to be a point where Fred VanVleet talks about, are you going to give a hometown discount? He's like, fuck that. I'm getting paid the max. And I can't wait to, you know, read the articles.
Here's the thing. I don't really see Fred as like that outwardly. It's not like the Isaiah Thomas situation where he's coming to practice with like slippers on and have brink trunks on. I think he's just a regular guy with regular interests of, you know, not selling himself short and getting to a starting spot, and he's got the starting spot and he wants starter level money, which I think is reasonable. Like, I think what Fred wants is reasonable, especially when you look at what he's doing this season. So,
I agree.
I'm going to go with Terrence Davis. It's the guy that's been most fun to watch for me personally because it's just funny to see him on a nightly basis outperform players that were drafted and have more cachet and signed bigger contracts. Because the way I'm looking at it is, it's like, okay, so the only knock on him really is that he's 22. But that's not really a knock.
Yeah.
Like, 22, that's fine. Like, you have so many more years. The thing is, you look at him, how many weaknesses are in his game? He's got good size for a point guard.
He's getting a rough whistle for now.
He's getting a rough whistle.
We'll see how long that lasts.
But, you know, part of that is him grabbing people because, you know, he's used to playing football. And part of that is also, you know, he's a rookie. He's getting a bad whistle. But, like, how many actual weaknesses are there in his game? He can shoot the three-point shot.
Really well for an undrafted guard. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Like, an undrafted guard with 50%. His size... Yeah, he should be...
And he's confident with that.
Yeah.
He works hard. He has plus athleticism. He has plus size for a point guard. He can create for others. He can definitely finish in the lane. In between game, he doesn't seem to have right now, but he can develop that. Like, what are you doing? How do you go undrafted? And so every night when he comes in, it outproduces guys like Markelle Fultz, or he outproduces like RJ Barrett. I'm just like, this is kind of funny because there's a lot of hype around some of these guys, but Terrence Davis, he's just kind of just straight up outproduces
people. I think we'll have someone who will agree with you. Derek from Pittsburgh, you're on the show with me and Will. How's it going?
Good, how's it going?
Well, you have a question about TD2.
Yeah. I was wondering if you guys thought there was conversation to be had about him possibly working his way in the starting lineup over a guy like Norm who has struggled down the stretch.
Does Terrence Davis deserve to start over Norm?
Well, I think one right now. Norm is playing okay as a starter. It's not so bad.
He had one bad game, and it wasn't even that bad. 7 points. He shot poorly, but
I also think it's a bit of a politics thing. Like,
it'd be crazy.
So Norm has already been jumped in the starting lineup by Fred, which I think that one is deserved. But I mean, with Terrence, it'd be just really difficult. Norm's been here 5 years.
Yeah.
He's had this chance. His injuries. Might as well let Norm do it. And I also think Norm kind of, he might fit the starting lineup a little bit better than he fits the bench because Terrence is at least a point guard. He could create a little bit off the bench and you can run a little bit more offense through him. You can't run offense through Norm Powell. Even though he scores, you can't run offense through him. You can run offense for him. That's the best you can do. So I would probably just stick with the way it is. But
maybe eventually. Like, depends on Norm Powell has a option for next year, and then after that, who knows?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, no. Norm Powell's here until 2022, bro.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Great. All right, Derek. Well,
enjoy Pittsburgh.
Enjoy Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I heard it's very lovely to go to Pittsburgh these days.
Yeah, it is really nice. Okay, hopefully the Browns don't come in and ruin your day on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the hope over on this side.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Peace.
Have a good one in the ball and six, right. Boy.
Take care.
Damn, we got Pittsburgh clout.
International, dog.
That's wild, man.
Pittsburgh. Steel City.
So I guess if you're in Pittsburgh, you can choose between, like, the Pistons or, like, the Cavaliers.
Oh.
But, I mean, you know, I'd probably pick Toronto.
You wouldn't choose for the Sixers because it's different city in Pennsylvania, big rivalry. I don't know. We got Carlos from Prince George. Carlos, you are on Raptors of Everything Live.
Yo, what up, boys?
Yo, what's good?
What's good?
Hell of an intro.
I'm just wondering what you guys think Nick's going to do when you got Serge and Kyle back, if Boosh and TD are going to get cut out of the rotation. I'd like to see them keep getting their minutes and try to cut down on some of Kyle and Mark's and Serge's minutes. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, is Nick still going to love McCaw when he comes back? Because he's got to be outplayed by TD. You can't have...
Yeah.
I think that TD gets all McCaw's minutes at this point, but we know Nick loves the guy for some reason. You think he's going to end up eating into Terrence's minutes?
Will, you answer first.
It's hard to explain the Nick thing with Pat McCaw. Like, I don't quite see it with Pat McCaw, but hey, listen, like, the Raptors have a great development staff, and if they want to develop Pat McCaw and they see something there, they must see something in practice that they really like, and maybe it's not translating to the game. But I generally agree. Like, I'd rather those minutes go to Terrence Davis. I kind of said that pretty consistently. In terms of the other guys, it's just going to be tough, man. It's just going to be tough because Kyle is better than Terrence Davis.
Yep.
It's not a question about that. And Serge Ibaka is better than Chris Boucher. That one is, you know, starting to get closer because Boucher's been that productive. But realistically, we know Serge is a better player than Chris Boucher. So it's going to be tough. I think the big challenge right now is that, so I agree, like, once those guys are healthy, Kyle and Serge are going to be playing, obviously, a lot of the minutes. But they should cut down on some of those minutes so that they could still, just basically extend the rotation and get Boucher and Terrence Davis a run. The issue with that is, though, that, like, you know, if you cut them from like 20 minutes to 5 minutes, like, they're probably not going to be as productive in those 5 minutes as they would be on an extended stretch. Like, that's something Nick talked about as well. It's just, it's very difficult as a player to just maintain your efficiency and your production when you cut down on your role so heavily. So it's just a tough question. I think you can play a little bit of Boucher at power forward, and they've been trying to do that in the last couple of days anyway. So that's not bad because there are some minutes to be had at power forward behind Pascal, obviously, and then. With Terrence, it's just going to be difficult. He's going to be basically fighting Norm. And it's pretty much whichever one of the two of them are playing better that day, and they probably will get those bench minutes at two guard. But I don't know, man. It's a good problem to have, I guess.
I think they'll play. Nick Nurse has never showed reticence to play out the bench, give everybody some runs, see what he has, especially going into the playoffs. I've said here, and I'll continue to say, the Raptors don't have seven clear-cut guys who are your guys for every situation the playoffs will throw at them.
Right.
So
you need everyone to stay ready.
Everyone to stay ready. Also, yeah. What's the 905's current record? Because maybe TD2 should go get some run down there.
Man, he'd be way too good for the 905.
He's too good for the D-League. Man.
I agree he's too good for the D-League. But
NBA minute.
I'm just saying for development purposes.
Yeah, I think you can work on his skills. Give him some run.
Yeah.
And 905 could use it right now. That was the plan going into the season, was for him to spend, to like join the team in the winter. And
unofficially, that was the plan. But, you know. He also got pretty good.
He's really good, but yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't hate it. Like, if the difference is you have Terrence Davis and he's never going to get into the game except for garbage time versus Terrence Davis can go to the 905 and get in like 40 minutes of run.
Yeah.
I'd kind of almost rather that. Just
and
for his
the Raptors
purposes.
Run similar systems, and if we want to see him work on his tweener game, like, I don't
know. Yeah.
What's there to lose? What's the downside?
Yeah, my big question with the bench is, once Ibaka returns, are they still going to have that same like all out energy sort of attribute to them? Because right now Boucher's fit the bench really well because the whole bench right now is just flying around everywhere. Yeah. blocking every shot and then running so fast and moving around with so much energy. And Serge is definitely a good defender, but he is not as active, I would say.
Yeah. He can do it in stretches.
No, he can definitely do it in stretches. When he does it, he sometimes plays like a star, like an all-star level player.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll see.
It's a good problem to have, man. I'm sure Nick Nurse is also asking himself the same question.
All right, but have a good weekend. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, enjoy your weekend, man.
Yeah, you too.
Be good.
I was going to say we could take a YouTube question, but the first one I see is, can Chris Boucher get in the rotation with Ibaka back? It's a little tough. How about this one from Alon?
Alon Fay.
Yeah. So Terrence Davis' hype is real. How do you see his trajectory over the next few years? What do you think his ceiling is?
Eric Bledsoe. I think his ceiling's Eric Bledsoe. Clippers Eric Bledsoe.
That was a good player.
I know.
That was a good player.
I think Terrence Davis could become the best point guard off the bench in the league, maybe.
Yeah. He definitely already shoots it better than Bledsoe.
If he gets a good handle,
yeah,
and he learns, and we can reliably trust him to like run an offense.
Yeah. Well, then he's already better than Eric Bledsoe. If you notice, actually, if you go back and watch his Ole Miss tape, so he was like a decent shooter at Ole Miss, but if you watch the highlights and stuff, every time he shot a three-pointer, he kind of like drifted. So like his back didn't go straight. He kind of like faded away almost a little bit every time, like maybe like 15, 20 degrees backwards. And like when you see Terrence Davis now, he's like straight up and down. His shot is more compact, and like the arc on his shot is good. And I think this is something that like the Raptors developmental staff has really done a good job of, is just like identifying these very, very slight problems in people's shots and just improving their game. And so if you look at Terrence now, he's straight up and down. He's not jumping as high on his jumper as well either. The arc of it looks good, and obviously the results are good, man. He's shooting like 50%. So honestly, if Terrence can shoot 50%, all of a sudden you have like it's just an incredible prospect.
It's amazing, this team's recent track record of finding guys, except for Bruno Caboclo. He's an NBA player. I think he's like I think he's rounding into like a real NBA player.
Mm.
He doesn't have.
Mm.
You don't think so?
Mm.
He's just still an energy guy.
He
knows how.
He knows how
to make cuts now. That, like, I remember watching a bit of Grizzlies, and he can cut to the basket now.
Yeah,
and he couldn't before. He could not figure it out.
Okay, let's take another call. Steve from Toronto wants to ask about Terrence Davis. Terrence Davis Hive, man.
Yeah, seriously. Steve from Toronto, what's good?
Hey, guys.
Are you part of Terrence Davis Hive?
I definitely am, but okay, I think it might be getting a little too far. People talking about Rookie of the Year, even.
No, he's not the Rookie of the Year.
But this kid, played 4 years in college. I want to know kind of how you see him developing over the next few years. What do you think his ceiling could be?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of just talked about this just a little bit, but I mean, in terms of ceiling, right? Like, we're talking about a guy who's like 6'4", shoots the ball really well, can play on and off the ball, can handle and create a little bit,
yep,
and can finish strong the basket. Like, that's pretty damn good. Like a Drew Holiday kind of trajectory? Because he got a similar size and bulk as Drew Holiday.
And he can defend in transition pretty well, which is something I've been impressed with. Like, it's hard. Yeah. Like, for a rookie, to know how to defend an NBA fast break is impressive.
Yeah.
He's not perfect at it, and the Raptors have always been pretty good at it.
Right.
So he's learned the schemes, but I don't know. It's high. He can be really good.
Yeah. I mean, like, a Drew Holiday, I feel like it's probably the best case scenario. Although, I don't know. I mean, Drew Holiday's actually not that good of a shooter.
And he's a really good passer.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? What's his comp for you?
You know, I've heard some Donovan Mitchell comparisons. That's what I mean by people maybe a little far-fetched.
No, I don't think so. I don't see the same like aggression like as a scorer. You know, like Donovan Mitchell as a rookie came in and gave you 20.
Yeah.
No, but he is shooting with confidence. You know what? I think if you look at it, Fred also played 4 years college, Norm did. Terrence is definitely better right now than Fred was. And Norm was at that point.
100%.
So. He's better than DeLon Wright was right before he left.
And we have a better coaching staff. We have a better training staff. So, man, the things they've done with Pascal, I think maybe never an all-star, but definitely starting caliber. I want one other thing really quickly.
Yeah.
If you guys can just put this to bed, because too many people talking about DeRozan back to the Raptors.
Oh, man.
I mean, probably the bottom fifth percentile in the NBA defensively. Mm. He hasn't hit a three in all of 2019.
In 11 months. 11 months and counting,
yeah,
baby.
December 26, 2018.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love DeMar. I get the emotional attachment. But can you guys just help put it to rest?
Yeah, listen, we all love DeMar. We all appreciate what DeMar has done. But it's like, why are you going back to your ex that you dumped? Like, why are you moving backwards?
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, move on. Like, let's move forward in life. That's all.
Ask yourself what Masai would do. Would Masai ever trade back for DeMar DeRozan?
It's not like I wouldn't take him under any circumstances. I'm just saying, though, like, it's hard to fit him into what the Raptors are doing now. Raptors right now are one of the teams, the league's best at shooting three-pointers.
Yep, and defending.
And both in terms of volume and attempts. You know, DeMar can help you generate threes by kicking and driving. And DeMar is having a pretty efficient offensive season, by the way. We should really shout that out. I don't think he's, like, all of the Spurs' problems. And it's kind of disingenuous to blame, like, DeMar for all their problems when they start, like, Bryn Forbes and stuff. Like, come on, man. But at the same time, like, I just don't think it fits. Like, the Raptors right now are a team that shares the ball, plays really quick, defends at a high level. And, like, none of those things are things that DeMar does right now. So you would need DeMar to change his whole game.
Yeah.
It's just weird and awkward. And also, it's Pascal's team now. His skill set and DeMar's skill set doesn't really overlap. No. Overlaps too much.
Yeah. They're not complementary at all.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing to see if Nick Nurse was head coach at the time, how hard he would call out DeMar defensively. I mean
he did. Here's the thing, he did, because Nick Nurse was briefly DeMar DeRozan's head coach before DeMar got traded. And they asked Nick about DeMar, and he's like, bro, you had to start playing defense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm serious. Like, you have – listen, I know Dwayne Casey let you do whatever you want.
And then Masai called and said, Nick, don't even worry about it, Nick. I'm taking care of it right now. And he said, I got to go back to talking to Barack Obama, but don't worry about it at all, Nick Nurse. We got it covered.
Yeah, so luckily, I love DeMar. I think he could help a lot of teams. I think he could help the Spurs, really.
Yeah.
The Spurs can figure out the other problems around him. Or he can go to, like, Orlando or whatever.
Do you have an ideal place for him to go?
I think San Antonio. I think he's good in San Antonio.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not a fun answer. Yeah.
I think under the radar, Detroit could actually make sense.
Yeah, man. That Detroit
that
team
would
is
be
just sad.
So
no,
nasty.
I mean, you got Dwayne Casey, right?
That'd be such a nasty energy. Just the two of them across the border.
I mean, listen, DeMar would take Detroit from a 40-win team to a 41-win team.
Easily.
I would even go so far as to say 42.
Wow. Wow.
Bold.
Wow.
No, but I just feel bad for Blake. He should at least be in the playoffs at this point in his career.
So. Yeah, I know. And the Clippers, they did him dirty, man.
They compared him
they
to
really
they put him on a
Mandela.
Shirt. They put him on a shirt with Martin Luther King. Retired his jersey.
Said,
and then traded him to Detroit. Yeah, just dropped him off in the parking lot.
Freaky
and
nasty energy. Really want some of the worst stuff.
All right. Thank you for the call, man.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Guys. YouTube.
The calls are coming in.
Yeah, I love these calls today, man.
We got
great calls, man. Except for that one guy who called in and was like, do you want to in the Raptors trade Serge Ibaka, Marcus Gasol, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet for Giannis? That was a weird question.
That's a cool one. Yeah. But we got Nabil from Whitby. Nabil, what's good?
What's up, man? How are you guys doing?
How you doing?
Good, man, good. Jack, I got to ask before I ask my question, how many wild trades questions have you gotten yet?
That's all we get, dog.
That's what we got. That's like 50% of the calls, man.
Should we trade Marc Gasol for Jokic? It's like, yeah, they can share a, you know, jersey size.
Dudes are calling you while having like trade machine up on their phone. Like,
facts,
man.
You know,
but,
yeah. But my question for you guys is, in particular, once we get healthy, mm-hmm. we have our full rotation back. Are there any lineups you're interested in seeing or, you know, you're excited to see? And one in particular, mine, it's not really one that, like, I doubt we'll ever see, but, like, I'd love to see, like, Pascal at the point, OG at the two, Rondé, Boucher at the four, and then Serge at the five. I just think the length, the defensive energy, just, like, it'd be crazy. But,
it would be crazy.
Never gonna happen, but like, you know.
I mean, the crazy thing is the Raptors are so versatile defensively, they can do that. Remember, because Pascal guarded John Wall.
That's true.
Right? OG has guarded like shooting guards, you know, like Bradley Beal, for example. You know what I mean? Rondé, we know, can guard threes. Boucher can guard fours. And Serge can guard fives. This is some stuff Nick Nurse would do, actually.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Nick Nurse is listening to this right now with a pen and paper.
I'm
going to write this down from Nabil. going to shout out Nabil in the postgame or something.
And that their only defense is like a 2-3 zone with all those bigs.
Yeah, the Raptors have won that game 32-15. I'm good, man.
I would like to see the like updated 2-big lineup with Kyle, Fred, OG, Serge, and Mark. Like I liked the one the Raptors went XXL. It was cool.
Yeah. I think right now the only issue I have right now with the starting lineup is that like without Kyle, the playmaking is so much dependent on Marc Gasol trying to find people on cuts.
Yes.
So I just want
to Norm Powell's benefit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's helped Norm a lot, but I like having Kyle in there because then with Kyle and Fred and Pascal and Marc Gasol as playmakers, like the ball just zips around. It flies. True. It's already flying around a little bit now, but it definitely gets stuck less. So I'm excited to see the ball movement improve from a point where it's already great to an elite point. And then, you know, also, again, I just want to see if the bench still works with Serge.
Yeah.
Because, like, Serge should be able to carry a lot of the offense for that bench unit. The bench unit right now, half-court offense, I don't trust it.
No.
And I think Serge can help the half-court offense. But that's so long as Serge doesn't ruin, like, the high-energy transition, like, you know, make a play defensively.
I don't think he can help it. I don't think that Serge can tank it, and I don't think that he will be able to resist getting in on the action. Serge, like, really adapts to his environment.
That's true, yeah. You got to give Serge a lot of
credit. I think to that point, though, some of those lineups are a little more sustainable now that, you know, Fred's more consistent with, like, the floor general duty. So now as opposed to just having to rely on Kyle and Pascal to initiate, you know Fred can get in there and you know Mark can be a hub for, you know, to run the offense through as well, right? So now you have four legitimate guys that can sort of, you know, ease things, settle down, run a pick and roll, run some simple action, whatever it may be. So, like, that too kind of makes it easier to play like other guys who aren't necessarily labeled as playmakers on our team.
That's true. Look, we thought the Raptors were going to be too thin. All of a sudden, they're spoiled for choice.
Yeah, seriously.
It's a great problem to have, man.
It is, man. What a time.
All right, Nabil. Baby.
Thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate you taking my call, guys.
Yeah, check out Upper Canada Mall this weekend, dog.
All right,
peace.
Highly specific regional references.
That's the point of the show, dog.
That is true.
I don't have a highly regional reference for the next caller. We're not ready to take the call, but I don't know.
I don't know either, actually.
Wow, what a day on the lines.
Yeah, is there anything else we wanted to talk about? Actually, we want to get to this. So today is Black Friday. Not trying to sell you anything.
Retail day of the year, unless you want to go get some KFC.
Yes, definitely. Definitely go get some KFC. But on Black Friday, I thought it would be appropriate to revisit the top five deals by Masai Ujiri in his time with the Raptors. So no Carmelo trade, although that was pretty awesome. That was the first trade of his career. He traded Carmelo.
Yeah,
and he turned the team around into a 57-win team. This guy's a goat. But our top five. So we'll start with number one. I think it's pretty obvious. You have DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a future first round pick, which was the 29th pick this past draft, used on Keldon Johnson.
Who?
I don't know who that is, but the Spurs, maybe you can turn him into a Bryn Forbes. For Kawhi Leonard, Danny Green, Larry O'Brien, and $5 million. The $5 million always kills me, man.
It's the best part.
So Masai was calling in from Kenya, being like, I'm not going to do this deal unless you give me $5 million. I'm not going to take Kawhi Leonard unless you give me $5
million. In my mind, I always think he was holding his BlackBerry to his phone, and he's getting it done. Barack Obama's like, I can't believe. He's like, watch this. And then he says, and you have to give us $5 million.
Yeah.
And Barack's like, this guy's out of control.
Yo, man, Masai negotiated the whole deal on WhatsApp. Just on voice notes. Yeah. Yo, you know, he was on speakerphone too. He's like, you got to give me $5 million or else I'm not doing it. So that's number one. I think that's pretty clear.
That's a pretty good one. Number two.
Yeah, number two. So I have on this list.
Barks.
Andrea Bargnani for Marcus Camby, Quinn Richardson, Steve Novak. Camby and Q Rich never actually played for the Raptors. Although, I mean, Camby obviously was drafted by the Raptors, but they did not play. Steve Novak did. And then unprotected 2016 first-round pick, which was used on Jakob Poeltl. The reason I have this number two, which is a little high, but the thing is, for me, Bargnani was such a bad asset at the time, I thought for sure they were going to amnesty him.
Yeah.
Because they had that still.
Or have to attach assets to send him out.
Or have to attach assets. And for them to get an unprotected first-round pick and also cap room for Andrea Bargnani is just implausible.
I feel like that
was not good.
I believe in Masai season. Like that was it. Changed everyone's like, this guy can do no wrong.
Yeah.
He's already, you know, completely surpassed Brent Colangelo's whole legacy.
He just traded Colangelo's son, man.
Yeah, it was really amazing stuff. Yeah.
He got a first round pick, and that first round pick turned into Jakob, and Jakob went into the Kawhi trade. So that's pretty good.
Speaking of the beginnings of Masai's tenure, let's talk about the Rudy Gay trade. Rudy Gay.
That's number three.
Aaron Gray, Quincy AC for John Salmons.
Yeah.
Pat Patterson, Gravis Vasquez, and Chuck Hayes.
Yeah.
A pretty solid trade.
Very good trade. Not necessarily because of the return or anything like that. Although
but even the returns were solid.
Returns were solid. Like Gravis had two good years here, and Pat Patterson was like good for like 3 years maybe.
And infinite content.
Yeah, Chuck Hayes. You know, like he pushed Andre Drummond after that James Johnson dunk.
I'll never forget how bad John Salmons was in the Nets series.
Let's not talk about John Salmons and how much Dwayne Casey loved playing John Salmons.
I remember they put him back into the game where Kevin Durant went crazy.
Yes, like, yes. And he missed those free throws, too.
It was
too.
So annoying.
Yeah, no, I'm not a fan of John Salmons. But the reason this trade is up here is because this reset the culture entirely.
Yep.
The Raptors were about to tank. They made this Rudy Gay trade. All of a sudden, the Raptors go... They finish the season on like a 55-win pace.
Yeah.
And they completely turn it around. They win 48 games that year. They make it to the playoffs. They obviously, game seven, Kyle Lowry gets blocked on a broken play because Dwayne Casey wrote on the wrong side of the floor. How did Dwayne Casey not get fired earlier, man? He drew the game seven clinching play on the wrong side of the floor. Bro.
No, but if you give him credit, he had to take the TTC into the stadium that day.
Bro, what are you thinking about? Oh, my God.
All right, number two.
Yeah.
Or number four.
Number
Marcus
four.
All for JV, CJ, and DeLon Wright, and second.
Yeah. I think the Raptors don't win the title without Marcus Gasol.
So. No matter what everyone on Twitter said after Marcus Gasol didn't get a ring and scored 30. Marcus Gasol scored 30, or JV scored 30 points, 16 rebounds, lost the game because he forgot the inbound.
Yeah, listen, you know, it's, again, you don't win the title without Marcus Gasol, so I feel like that's got to be in there. And then before we get to the last one, you have an honorable mention.
An honorable mention.
Yeah.
This one, I'm sure, is near to dear to everybody. Obvious. We didn't even need to mention it, but we thought we'd have to. Last year, the Raptors had a promotion with a fast food chain where when the Raptors would score 12 three-pointers, there would be free fries in Ontario.
Mm.
That program, the return on that deal is amazing.
Right.
I used it. You used it.
I did.
The Raptors...
But then I threw it out in AKFC.
That's fact. The Raptors scored... 12 three-pointers, 55 of a potential 106 times.
Uh-huh.
The fast food chain had to give out 2.5 million orders of french fries for free.
Right.
They expected to give out 700,000, so three times as many.
Wow. It's
legendary.
That's incredible, man.
One of the greatest deals in Raptors history.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
This last trade.
And then, number five, Gravis Vasquez for OG Anunoby and Norm Powell, who were both draft picks at the time. So Raptors had to make sure to get OG and Norm Powell, but... Yeah, that was a great trade because Gravis Vasquez played 23 games for the Bucks. First off, it was the Bucks. Shot like 30% and got hurt, and then his career basically ended after that. It's unfortunate. But you look at Norman Powell, he's played 272 games for the Raptors. He has repeatedly killed the Bucks in both 2017 and 2019. Thank you, Norman Powell. And OG Anunoby has played 158 games for the Raptors. So just an incredible trade in terms of just what you ended up surrendering versus what you ended up getting back.
Yeah.
So a lot of great trades by Masai in the last... 7 years, I guess.
Yeah, and hopefully you guys are able to get some good Black Friday deals yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Be inspired by Masai.
Sure.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We have Juan in Vancouver. Juan, what it do, baby?
Yo, what's up, man? How you guys doing?
How you doing? What's Vancouver saying right now? What's the weather like?
Vancouver's amazing, man. It's winter, in quotations. I mean, these guys are all cold here, but I'm from Toronto, so it's like 10 degrees outside,
man.
And everyone's freezing.
All right. That's enough. Yeah, I regret asking that question.
I live by the ocean, man. I've been blazing all day. I just caught your...
Hey.
I got my question here. I want to know what you guys think about this being an actual possibility. Raptors, Lakers in the finals. I'm pretty sure the Lakers are in the West or whatever. But I'm thinking more about the Raps because if you look at some of the things, like, obviously they have the confidence from the playoffs. They have the experience from the finals. So, like, the bright lights won't bother them. They get seven games of rest. They have a cohesive defense. They're shutting down NBA stars, Lillard, everyone. Like,
yeah.
Their numbers, man.
Yeah.
And then we get to add Lowry and Ibaka.
Yeah.
Like, as all my cousins from Toronto would say, are you stupid or dumb?
Yo.
Like, look at this, man. That's crazy.
It's the best call we ever got.
Yeah, I know. It's
any team in seven games. I mean, and plus Masai and Webster might add anything that's missing. It might help us a lot. So I don't know. And, yeah, I wanted to know if you guys think this is for real, you know, because the entire like season, I don't really get upset when they lose a road game, when they're missing two-star players, you know, on a back-to-back or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not too hurt. I'm actually, like, kind of happy it was close. And you see, like, Terrence Davis doing well and Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson finding his place.
Yeah.
But it's not like in the past I found where we pick up a player like the Junkyard Dog 2.0,
the
motherfucker that couldn't shoot threes.
Yo, hold on.
I'm not even going to lie. Don't do that. I'm not your child.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, there's actual belief. Like, this team is together.
Yeah.
And in the second year without Kawhi, I think they have a confidence to go. So I wanted to know your opinion on that.
Arwan. So can the Raptors meet the Lakers in the finals?
Yeah, I feel like
it might be harder for the Lakers to make the finals than the Raptors make the finals. I'm just saying, because the path through the East isn't as hard, you know what I mean?
Like, for sure.
They got the Clippers.
There's not right now a team that like I'm terrified of.
Yeah.
We talked about last week the Bucks being the best team. Still believe it, but
yeah.
We can beat the Bucks.
I think realistically, you might need one more creator in the half court.
Yeah,
to get past no, bro. I'm talking about like real like not 40-year-old players,
not Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, like half his age, like you know what I mean, like a Bradley Beal, like someone to like get you offense against the Sixers because their defense is really good.
Yep.
Or against.
I feel kind of hesitant about Bradley Beal in the sense that he's been in such a toxic environment for so long that he's going to bring something good, maybe or not.
Yeah, you can't even trade for him this year anyway because he just signed the extension. So I mean, like that type. You know what I mean, like even like if you want, like for some reason you got CJ McCollum or
Gary Harris Jr.
That doesn't excite me. Even CJ doesn't really excite me that much. I might actually rather have DeMar than CJ, but you know, like someone like that, just so someone else to create offense. I think defensively the Raptors
are more offense. You want more offense?
I want more half court offense.
Yeah, creative.
Because right now the Raptors are scoring a lot in transition and stuff. In the playoffs, it's unrealistic to expect that.
Offense like right now, and they were third last year, but their defense is disgusting.
That's what I'm saying. The defense is good. The defense is set. We don't need to worry about the defense. Yeah. Right, yeah. And we shouldn't compromise the defense. But if they can bring in one more guy that can create in the half court and maintain and play the scheme in the defense, then you're.
When you say half court, do you mean like they bring it up to the ball and everybody's waiting for him, or do you mean like in transition, like another body to shoot out after we get that block, that rebound?
No, I mean in like half court offense.
Yeah, there aren't enough guys who can get their own shot.
It's really just
Serge.
Serge can't get his own.
Serge
shot.
Serge can get his own shot.
What do you mean?
Ask Ben Simmons.
Okay.
Do you feel confidence in the fact of like OG Anunoby and what he went through in his life and like all those injuries and shit that happened last year? Do you feel like he might actually be a spark in the playoffs the way Siakam was in the finals?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see OG in the playoffs because when we last saw OG in the playoffs, he did really well in that Wizards series and he did pretty good in that the Cleveland series, all things considered. Like, I'm not saying he's a star.
Remember, he guarded pretty well against LeBron.
Yeah, and he had that like 18 to 20 point game when he tied the game at the end, like, you know, like zero fear whatsoever. So, you know, it's interesting, but I do think the Raptors offensively don't have a championship offense yet, but they have a championship defense. But that's already halfway there.
To the finals, though, I mean, do you think anybody is going to stop them? Like, were you shocked when this boy from Cameroon got 0 points? 0 points? Like, yo, Stephen A. said it best. He went on for like 30 minutes saying the exact same thing. Just those words. You know?
0 points.
We have what it takes, man, I think.
No, for the Raptors are definitely a contender. We have to be excited about it. But, Juan, we're going to let you go. Have a good weekend.
Yo, enjoy the West Coast, man.
Shout out to Blake Murphy, Zerar from Raptors
Republic. Yo, shout out, yes.
Shout out Raps Republic.
Shout out to Raps Republic, man.
Shout out Yahoo Sports Canada.
Zerar, bro. Damn, this guy, Zerar's an OG, man. People don't know enough about Zerar and what he did for the city.
All right, peace. Well, we have an international caller.
Okay.
Vitaly from Moscow. I hope this is, hope this is Alex Wong.
How you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
what I want to ask, I don't know if you listened to it, but there was a Bill Simmons podcast a couple of days ago about top 10 players in NBA, and I was very surprised. They ranked Pascal Siakam, 7th place. I want to know if you heard this and what your thoughts are.
I did hear this. It was a 2-hour and 30-minute podcast by Bill Simmons. He had a great interview with Sterling K. Brown.
I did.
So that was good.
That was a good
Yeah, they talked about Waves as well, the movie. If you're going to see Waves, the movie, you're going to be devastated emotionally, but it's very good. Yeah, so Pascal Siakam, number 7 on the list. I think right now, I don't think like it's – I think up to this point, which is what, they played 17, 18 games?
Yep.
Up to this point, Pascal has been the 7th most productive player in the NBA. I don't think there's honestly that much question about it. So it's not surprising to me. I think it's only surprising in the sense that we don't see a Pascal as like a top 7 quality level guy yet.
I think I do.
Okay, so...
Like, the 6 are easy. Okay. Giannis, LeBron, James Harden, Doncic, whatever, Kawhi. The 6 are easy. Uh-huh. I think there's
and
like
Anthony
a...
Anthony Davis.
What about Anthony Davis? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Anthony Davis is in that 6.
He was 6.
I was just...
He was number 6.
I couldn't remember them all.
Okay.
I did the same thing that Juan did earlier today.
Word.
I think that second tier, like, with Pascal, Karl-Anthony Towns, Kemba Walker. Like, they're all... It's all there.
Yeah.
And Giannis is probably, or Pascal is probably at the top of that heap.
I think so. Yeah, he's probably the top of the, that's exactly the way I would say it too. Like, there's tier one, and tier one is pretty hard to crack, and I don't think Pascal's in tier one yet, but just on the edge of that. Yeah. Like, the best of the rest. Like, if you compare his numbers to Karl-Anthony Towns, Karl-Anthony Towns might actually be getting better numbers, but, like, the Raptors are winning more games, and Pascal has been, he's one of the league leaders in plus minus as well. Really, the team kind of falls apart a little bit when Pascal's not on the floor. They definitely aren't elite
especially
with Pascal
when
on the floor,
Pascal
so.
And Fred are off the floor. It's really tough.
I don't think Bill Simmons is off base. I honestly think he might end up like between that 7 to 10 range by season's end, especially if he stays healthy. So,
yes, my opinion, probably Paul George, I take ahead.
Sure.
He's more proven.
Sure.
And maybe Damian Lillard.
Okay,
but
maybe.
Yeah,
the Blazers suck.
The Blazers are pretty bad this year.
Yeah, well, it's one season. But I want to see Pascal do it more consistent. It's been 17 games. We still have to see, but it's very encouraging.
Yes.
I also want to ask William, are you using Reddit?
Am I using Reddit?
Yes. Are you using Reddit?
I sometimes go on Reddit to see the Raptors...
Thing,
but I don't like post or anything. Why? What's up?
So it would be very cool if you do AMA.
Oh.
The Ask Me on the Raptors Reddit or NBA Reddit because I'm sure we have lots of questions about it would be very nice.
Okay, I actually did one of those before, in like maybe two years ago. But if people from Reddit want to reach out, you know, I got nothing to do.
What's life in Moscow like?
Moderator on the Raptors Reddit, so maybe they can reach out.
Okay, cool.
How's Moscow today?
It is fucking cold.
how cold are we talking, man? What's going on?
You know Celsius, yes?
Yeah, of course. Come on, we're not American.
About minus 10, but lots of wind.
Oh, man. Oh,
that's unfortunate.
But here now it's past 10 o'clock. So.
Yeah, it's late. Are you staying up to watch the Raptors Magic game?
You know what? So now it's almost 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to bar at 11, and when we come back, we watch the game a couple hours.
Hey,
amazing.
There you go.
I lived in Toronto 3 years, did business there,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of fell in love with the team. So
of course.
I try to watch all the games.
Good, amazing. good. Are there a lot of Raptor fans in Moscow, or is it just you and your buddies?
My wife, she like.
All right, good.
But you know, a lot of people follow CSKA Moskva.
Oh, yeah, Nando DiColo.
a Raptors legend.
Raptors legend, Nando DiColo. We still have his rights. We still might bring him back eventually.
Seriously.
Before it was Andrei Kirilenko, more people watched, but
a little
bit.
Yeah, he fell off really quickly. It was weird.
Hey, Kirilenko was a legend.
No, he was amazing.
He was a legend.
He was an amazing player, but
I really
his career
liked
ended weirdly.
Kirilenko had like the first 5x5 game.
AK-47.
The best nickname. Also, he had that agreement with his wife, which is a legendary story.
Yeah, seriously. All right. Thanks for calling. This was great.
What a great call, man. Yeah,
thanks, guys. Love the podcast. Always listen.
Thank you. That's crazy.
That was crazy.
That's crazy. That
he's going out at 10.
He didn't even ask if he could swear on the podcast. He was just like, it's very cold.
Whoa, another international caller. James from Australia. This is great. How's it going? Oh, no. James? That's too bad.
Hey.
We'll try
again. Okay, we'll try to get James in a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, that threw me off. You know what, though? This is a good time because we have, like, what, 10, about 12 minutes left, so we should get to our Stanley's suggestions.
Can you go out to me?
It's my favorite time of the week.
Yes. So Stanley's suggestions is our segment where we recommend things for Stanley to do because, you know, like he's getting healthy. He's observing from the bench. He's got some pretty fashionable outfits. He's very popular, actually. A lot of players go up to talk to him and stuff.
He's well connected.
Yeah. You know, he's a very affable guy. This thing, I don't want to make fun of him just because it's just kind of he's likable. I want to like the guy. That's all right. So for Stanley's suggestions for this week, though, even though because he does have some time and Toronto is a great place.
It's true.
So very recently, the McDonald's, the iconic McDonald's at Dufferin and King.
Yeah.
Has shut down.
Oh, no.
Yes. I know that place because I go past there every day on the bus. All right? Because I switch from the Dufferin bus to the King streetcar. So I'm by there all the time. So that place is shut down. So, you know, Stanley, just, you know, if you're going to take in historical Toronto sites, I feel like that's one of the places to go.
Check it
Probably up. Go there like, you know, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Drive through.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's when you get the best
service. Stay inside your car.
That's when you get the best service. All right.
My suggestion for Stanley Johnson is to check out Cats at the Princess of Wales Theater. Wow, I take the King Street car to work in the morning, and I see all of the facade.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've never seen Cats.
Is this Cats with Jason Derulo as a cat?
No, so that's the movie that's coming out sometime. I don't know,
quite
remember when.
Yeah.
But in Toronto, there's a theatrical performance of it. So Stanley Johnson, check it out. Let me know if it's good or not.
Okay. I'll be sure to read
it. Do you want to try to get James?
Let's get James from Australia, man. Come on.
James, you're on Raptor with Everything Live. No, still not working. That is real tragic. Wow.
That's unfortunate.
We have Dave in Toronto. We'll try Dave. Dave, how's it going? Dave. Uh-oh.
Damn. We got nobody, huh?
Cold world.
It's really cold.
What did we want to talk about?
Well, the only other prearranged topic we have is Canada basketball.
Oh, yeah. What a great week for Canada basketball.
Uh-huh.
Where do we begin? I guess, like, shout out to Jamal Murray.
Shout out to Jamal Murray for leading the charge, saying, I'm going to play, the rest of y'all can join me. And I think that honestly did help.
Yeah.
That did help. I think Shea is going to be really good. Shea might already be better or on level with Jamal.
No, he's not.
I like Shea a lot.
I like Shea's game a lot more, but Jamal Murray is good.
That's fair. I like Shea's defense more. But still, this is not an issue because we have both of them.
It's true.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
Salute.
He has volunteered that he will go.
Yep.
Chris Boucher has said just earlier today to clear up any sort of rumors, I will be going instead of going to Rico Hines this year. You know, guys like DeLon Brooks will be there.
Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell has committed to be there. Corey Joseph, you know he's going to be there. You know, Kelly Olynyk's going to be there. Team Canada is nice, man. I think we're very close to the point where we have to cut an NBA player from the roster. Like, straight up.
What a
like,
wonderful decision to be
You know, and last year we were playing, like, Owen Klassen, who, if you didn't watch the Team Canada games that they played in the FIBA World Cup in the 2019 FIBA World Cup in China.
Don't.
They had a guy named Owen Klassen who, respect this guy, he played, he worked hard, and he helped the Team Canada qualify.
Yeah.
But if I had to describe his game, it's like, if Blake Murphy was 6'5", like it was that level. And so I'm just saying, like, again, I appreciate it, but I'm just saying, like, we're going to have Ken Birch. We're going to have, you know, hopefully Tristan Thompson will go. He's pretty good. He's had a good year so far.
He's been good.
Yeah. Dwight Powell, Chris Boucher, like, I mean, Kellen Olynyk, that as your five
Corey
big men
Joseph,
right there.
Yeah, it's solid.
That's incredible. So, yeah.
All right. We're going to try James from Australia. James,
bro, come on. Talk to us. Okay, we hear a sound.
That's I hear good. Sound. James, you there? I feel like somebody surprised James. Like one of those military unions. Anywho.
All right.
Nick Nurse coaching the team.
Yeah.
Are you excited to go to Victoria? Are you going to Victoria? I mean, you can't call your shot, but.
If it's my choice, I would love to go to Victoria.
If it's my, you know, my choice as well.
But yeah, I mean, my hope is that they go to Victoria. And they win the tournament. I'm there to cover it. And then they go to a Tokyo Olympics. I'm hoping to be there as well.
Yep.
And then maybe I'll just, like, chill for, like, 2 weeks afterwards and hang out throughout Japan or something.
That sounds like a pretty
good
time.
Maybe visit the motherland as well. But I'm really surprised, by the way, so far. So we've loaded up some sound effects on this board. And I keep hoping to get a phone call from
Miss Agua.
But we just don't get any phone calls from Miss Agua.
Miss Agua.
Like, what's going on? What happened?
We've definitely, when we
talked about...
I thought,
honestly, 80% of the phone calls on the show will be coming from...
Miss Agua.
And they don't.
That's true.
It's unfortunate.
But...
We have some other ones, actually.
It's a make or miss league.
a recent favorite.
Let's not move on from your meat. Let's talk about you in those gray sweatpants.
That was from How Hungry Are You?
Yeah, a really good episode. This season's been pretty solid. It's weird. It's not as, like, team-centric as last year's was.
It definitely is not as team-centric.
It is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't hated it.
I don't hate it either, man. Sarge is incredibly likable.
Yo, guys, yeah. Can you hear me?
Let's not move on from your meat. Let's talk about you in those gray sweatpants.
No, Charlamagne is awesome.
Don't do that.
Do you want to talk Dave from Toronto again? Or
all right. Dave from Toronto, you're on the line.
Is this? I don't think this is Dave. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah. James.
Yeah, this is James.
This James. Is James. Oh, wow.
It's okay. So good to hear from you.
Oh, we got our lines
International
yeah,
James.
No, guys, I just wanted to call in. Just want to say, massive Raptors fan in Australia. Yes. Followed all the Yahoo coverage over the playoffs.
Thank
it's
you.
Incredible.
Thank you.
It's really good considering you get, there's no NBA coverage here at all, really, and especially with the Raptors.
Right.
Like, we get nothing at all. It's like Lakers and Celtics. So,
right.
Yeah, just wanted to say big thanks for what you guys do. Anyway, my question was, who do you think's been the most surprising player this season? I thought, like, Terrence Davis has been so, so good, like, so solid.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what do you guys think?
Honestly, there's a lot. There's a lot. This whole team is very surprising. I don't think it's surprising that Pascal is this good. But yeah. It's, like, objectively
Neither.
Speaking, Neither. It's so hard to make that final jump from being, like, a good starter to being, like, the number one guy and being efficient and still playing defense and stuff. So I'm, like, really impressed by that.
Yeah, that's true.
But honestly, for me, I'm really impressed with that Fred has actually been able to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
It feels very much like Fred had that baby in the playoffs, and then since then, this is just Fred.
Yeah.
He's been the same, yeah.
He's and finals Fred around, every yeah. day. And so that's been an incredible experience. Because especially yeah. with Kyle Lowry out, the Raptors will be screwed if Fred wasn't playing the way he's playing. But, I mean, he went up against Dame Lillard and just dominated that matchup. You know, he's done a lot of good things since Kyle's injury. So
yeah, I feel like, go ahead.
I feel like everyone's playing like how we sort of expected them to play, like mm-hmm. in best case scenario, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And like, which is working, but and I feel it's sustainable. Which I mm-hmm. hope it is, because like every game you watch, it seems reliable. It seems like it's working. But
right.
like, so for me, I think we can do it. Like, we really can have a shot at going back. But like,
right.
you know what I mean? Everyone's playing out of their minds right now.
I think the guy that I'd like to think is being surprising is Pascal Siakam. He's, you know, as good as I thought he'd be, but him as a leading man for the team,
yeah.
he's been, like, amazing. Yeah. Like, so much personality yeah. on display, like, so much swagger.
He
he's
hits just pull-up threes?
Yeah, he's really what? Yeah, he's really delivered on being the star. Like, yeah. now that Kawhi left, and Kawhi became very quickly, like, the biggest personality in the NBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't quite replace that. Like, Kawhi's so aloof and so unique.
Mm-hmm.
But Pascal is, like, a leading man for this
yeah.
team. On the court and sort of off yeah. the court, he's really delivered on just being...
Yeah, and I really appreciate that Pascal is, like, still down to earth. He's still really, like, just chill, humble.
Yeah,
like, he works hard.
Biggest,
his mentality hasn't changed yeah. whatsoever. And this is after... Like, imagine... Like, if I got paid $150 million, I'm not the same person anymore. Like, I'm not going to work. I'm just, you know what I mean? But,
and
like...
he was, like, second best player, arguably, in, like... on the team, like probably
yeah.
Lowry, but like in the playoffs and the finals,
yeah.
you know, like
yeah.
that could get to someone and he didn't let it, you know, he's still the same.
Yeah, I so love like, that. I love yeah. that about him. And he keeps talking about how he's going to continue improving, so... I respect that man a lot. So thanks for the call. Quick question before we
no
go.
Problem, guys.
On Sunday, the Raptors yeah, play yeah. Utah. Your boy Joe Ingles. Are you going to be rooting
yeah.
for Ingles or the Raptors? Where's the...
Raptors.
Yeah? Raptors.
I'm in okay. Sydney yeah. in January. Where do I go watch the Raptors games? Like midday, I'm
always
sure.
Always Raptors. Ben Simmons is overrated.
Like, oh, yeah. oh, wow. Wow. Wow, respect.
He is Aussie Rondo.
Wow.
I'm going to be in Sydney. Where do I watch Raptors games when I'm in town?
I don't know about Sydney. Probably Raptors, you're going to have a league pass. They're not on anything.
Oh, no.
So, oh, my God.
All right. I'm going to have to find some elite streams.
The games are at decent times. They're
yeah.
like between like 11 a.m. to like 2 p.m.
That's so actually fine. Ideal.
So,
yeah, it's perfect.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It's pretty good.
All right. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks for your call. Have a good weekend. Peace.
You too.
We're so influential.
What
we got a call from
Sydney?
Australia. he didn't even say he was in Sydney.
Oh, he's in Australia.
He just said he was in Australia. So.
But what time is it in Australia? It's like got to be
know.
Late.
It's got to be real. It's,
or early? I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. I think before we go, we should address some of these
YouTube questions.
YouTube questions. So let's race through them.
All right.
From The Way of the Beard, how are the Raptors doing this? That's honestly, that's
like,
the question.
all these teams have sucked at drafting for years. The Raptors have already reloaded with young players.
they have a system. Here's the thing. You have young players, and they're just around, and they don't do anything, and they lose. They develop bad habits. They get overpaid. All of a sudden, you're stuck. That doesn't help anything.
No.
That doesn't help anything. That's how you become, like, the Knicks, you know, or whatever, right? Whoa. The Raptors have, like, an actual system in place, and so players can come in, and they can develop under a timeline. It's like you go to a competent company, and they actually have a structure in place for you.
Yep.
And, you know, you fill in your... you know, Fred VanVleet role, and then you work your way onto the bench.
Yeah.
You play well in that role. You go in the starting lineup, you know, and then you start to expand and develop your skill set. The Raptors have a great scouting staff,
and you've seen the Raptors commit to it. Like, early getting a facility that the team could use, a G League affiliate that's nearby. Those are all, you know, important building blocks.
Smiley Face asks, do you think Nurse could experiment with the starting lineup to shore up the rebounding? Maybe start Ibaka. I feel like Gasol complements the bench more, and the starting lineup simply lacks rebounding. The issue is, I don't think Ibaka is that much better of a rebounder than Gasol.
He isn't.
It really isn't.
But I believe Serge should start some just for load management for Mark, but that's a different story.
Sure, yeah. But I think, honestly, for the most part, the defense has been elite.
Yep.
And you can kind of just keep it that way. From CSY... can Boucher get in the rotation even with Ibaka back? We already talked about this. Stolen Goods asks, Matt Thomas shooting consistent deep threes when he comes back. The Raptors have a four-point line taped on their practice courts. That's like basically 30 feet out.
Yeah.
And Matt Thomas definitely shooting those. So, you know.
So he'll be good. Last question. Once Lowry comes back, could Powell go from starting to out of the rotation? No, come on.
Come on, man.
The Raptors need to see what they have from Norm Powell. It's an important year for his career. They're not going to screw a guy over like that. They just would be. They would end his career effectively if they benched him the rest of this year.
End his career as a Raptor, maybe, but.
But if. Yeah, anywho.
I would say there's a 15% chance. You never know with Norm. You just never know, but hopefully it doesn't happen. Anyway, thanks for everyone who called in. We got calls from, like, Moscow and somewhere in Australia,
Vancouver.
A lot of great calls this week. And so if you want to call in and be part of the show, we go live on the Yahoo Sports Canada YouTube page every Friday between 3:30 p.m. Eastern and 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Josh.
Oh, appreciate it. Will, it's so much fun. Yeah. Thanks to the crew. Help us run the show. We couldn't do it without you.
Seriously.
Thanks to our friends, The Suburbs, for the new music that we used to play out.
That's right. Listen to Belmont or whatever it's called. And of course, big shout outs to KFC for sponsoring the podcast. So thank you to everyone for listening. We'll be back next week.
All right. Respect to the sponsor. Peace.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.